outrageous, unbelievable? Yeah, it's true. We will give voice to your frustration today, right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is great to be sitting in my office again here in the Line of Fire studios. This is Michael Brown. I am absolutely delighted to be with you back from the Faroe Islands and super, super eager to update you on what happened on the trip. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. Before I get into that, I was as shocked as anyone to get the news yesterday that Planned Parenthood has been cleared by a grand jury in Houston. They have been cleared of wrongdoing in the selling of aborted baby parts, but the gentleman behind the sting videos that uncovered their practice of selling the baby parts and who then purchased the baby parts as part of the sting, is now being indicted and could potentially face something like 20 years in jail. We'll get into that in a little while. I'm eager to give you an update for the Faroe Islands, and thank you for praying. But could somebody help me here understand? Could somebody help me understand this? There must be something I'm missing, all right? There's got to be something simple that I'm missing in this equation. I got emails simultaneously from my wife, Nancy, from my producer, Matt, and then from a friend, a Messianic Jewish leader in Washington State, all within seconds, all outraged over the Planned Parenthood announcement, the grand jury announcement. And my wife, Nancy, asked me something. It's the same thing I'm wondering about, so let me phrase my question for you, all right? Let's say I'm an undercover cop. You say, well, these people weren't cops. Just hear me out. Let's say I'm an undercover cop. I approach you. You're a drug dealer, right? I approach you as a drug dealer, and I get you to illegally sell me drugs. So you're guilty of selling me drugs. I, as the undercover officer, I'm actually not trying to buy drugs, but I'm trying to set you up so that you could now be apprehended by police. And now we stage the whole thing. We videotape it. You can hear the whole transaction. You can see it. There's your evidence. And now I've got the stuff in my hand. How is it that I could be found guilty of buying the drug illegally if you were not guilty of selling the drug illegally? Could someone explain that? If this gentleman who was behind these sting videos, if he's being found guilty of buying, procuring aborted baby parts, then how, pray tell, is Planned Parenthood not guilty of selling him aborted baby parts? Is there something missing in my question here, in my logic here? You may say he did certain things illegally, that you know, he falsified this or did this for the sting operation. I'm not discussing any of that. I'm saying if he is found guilty of procuring, of purchasing, of buying aborted baby parts, then how is Planned Parenthood not guilty of selling them? Am I the only one asking that question? I think not. 866-34-TRUTH. I will get your calls, your input on that. And I'm going to tell you about the Faroe Islands, an amazing trip, as soon as we get back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, friends, I get to be your voice. I can air some of your frustration and some of your concern. Later in the broadcast, many of you will have to listen to this online, but later in the broadcast, I'm going to be joined by John Hawkins, who runs Right Wing News. He's an influential conservative commentator. I used to be a fan of Trump, Donald Trump, but no more. And we'll also explain why, in his view, it's going to be impossible for Donald Trump to win a general election. For all those who say, well, I'm voting for him, he's the only one that can win. John Hawkins is going to give you some hard data that's really going to call that into question. That's going to be later in the broadcast. Also going to speak with James Robison, 1 year into the launch of The Stream, for which I contribute on a regular basis, stream.org. If you've never gone there, check it out. A great and unique website. We'll be talking about wisdom and how to vote as well. James Robison never endorses candidates, but we'll be talking about that as well. And yeah, more on Planned Parenthood. Talking about some comments by Senator Marco Rubio. This is a little ways back, but he was addressing an atheist who said, okay, what happens, you know, if you're elected, you're not going to be president in chief. Are you going to be pastor in chief rather than president in chief? Great answer from Senator Rubio. We'll be giving you some updates, a bunch of other things, some pretty outrageous sound bites I've got for you, too. All coming your way on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we talk about Planned Parenthood, again, my simple question, if you have a sting operation, all right, let's just say you as a private citizen decide you're going to do this because there's a big drug problem in your area and the police are just not able to cover everything. So you go undercover and you purchase drugs and you videotape the whole thing and then you go to the police and say, all right, here are the drugs I purchased, handing them over to you. Here's the video evidence of everything that took place. Now you can go ahead and arrest this person. And instead you get arrested for buying drugs that were sold illegally and the drug dealer gets exonerated, did nothing wrong. To me, that's the parallel of what's happening with Planned Parenthood and the sting operation to expose them. Was it right for them to falsify badges, to if that's the case, or to go undercover? I'd say to save baby lives and to expose this practice, that even if there was some deceit used in it, it would be like using deceit to get into a concentration camp in World War II to take pictures of what's happening and to export it to the rest of the world. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, oh, well, that person shouldn't have used deceit? Or are you going to say, what a horror. What are we going to do about it? All right, that's my question on the table, 866-34-TRUTH. And yeah, you can weigh in. Was it right to use deceit, to hire actors, to claim to be something that you weren't, in order to expose the evils of Planned Parenthood for the world to see? Is that a right thing, a righteous thing, a thing that a Christian could ever justifiably do? Before I get into that, let me tell you about the Faroe Islands. In fact, let me just take a look and see on our Facebook page if a video I took, was it yesterday driving to the airport? Let's just see if that has posted yet. No, hasn't uploaded yet. Hopefully very soon will be live and you'll be able to check it out. Just a little bit of the beauty of the Faroe Islands. But tell me honestly, how many of you know where the Faroe Islands are? Tell me if you know. Raise your hand if you're listening in the Faroe Islands, you don't have to raise your hand. One of the sweetest things that happened to me was running into folks that follow us regularly in the Faroe Islands, which, by the way, is about an hour flight away from Iceland, maybe a little over an hour away from the coast of Iceland. And so you're talking about right in the heart of the Atlantic Ocean. And what is it, 17, 18 islands, absolutely stunningly beautiful. The landscape, the stark nature of it, the wind, the waves, the fog. I'm sure during summer when everything is green, people tell me it's all the more stunning. Then I saw some pictures online and sent them to Nancy, and she couldn't believe it. You've got the old world beauty there, some old houses, lots of houses with the thatched roofs with grass on top of them. You've got some buildings that go back there, what, hundreds and hundreds of years, 1,000 years or something like that, Vikings inhabiting it. And just, there's all kinds of speculation as who inhabited it first and so on. but a place of stunning beauty and a place that took me back to earlier times. You know, you read about revivals in the past and God moved and the whole community was touched. And it's so different now because everyone's going in different directions. You could live in an apartment building and nobody even knows their neighbors and stuff like that. And here people living in the same community for generations. It struck me as more like that. And when I asked some of them, okay, you went away to study. That's very common. Go away elsewhere to Denmark or to Sweden for university studies. Why do you come back afterwards? Some came to our ministry school in the States. That's how I first found out about Faroe Islands years back. And there are a total of 49,000 people roughly living there in the Faroe Islands. By the way, not spelled Pharaoh as in biblical Pharaoh or ancient Egyptian Pharaoh, P-H-A-R-A-O-H. Yep. Not Pharaoh like that, but F-A-R-O-E, and they speak Faroese. That's correct, in the Faroe Islands. I asked them, why do you move back there? Why do you go back to the Faroe Islands after living in these other places? I noticed when the plane flew in, and there are very few flights that come in. They come in from Iceland, and very, very few flights that go in there. When we landed at the airport, there's a little duty-free shop, actually a big one considering it's a very little airport. And a lot of the people got these baskets like you get at the grocery store, and they went and started buying items. I said, I've never seen that in my life. When you arrive home, you're buying items at duty-free. But the reason they're doing it is because they have stuff there that they won't have in the towns, and they have it less expensively. So it was fascinating. And when I got there, one of the meetings, one gentleman came up to me. If you're listening now, sir, a big smile on my face, hopefully on yours. And he said to me, I listen to the Line of Fire almost every single day. I guess he's an architect drawing houses. He said because of what he does, he can listen. How sweet, all the way over there in the Faroe Islands. And then another couple came up to me, big smiles. And the wife said, we watch your YouTube videos. The husband told me, she said, as soon as he gets home from work, he sits down at the computer, we start watching the videos. Do you know what that means to me? How meaningful that is in terms of, hey, we together are impacting people, even in places that some of us never heard of. And they found out about my YouTube channel through Dr. James White's YouTube channel, my dear friend Dr. White, who was with us last week. And then when I did the lecture, which I'll tell you about in a moment on Saturday night, when I did the lecture, a gentleman stood up during the Q&A at the end, had kind of a distinguished British accent. And as he was driving around, he said, I was shocked to see someone that looked just the same face as I see every day as I avidly read this man's columns online. Only to find out that it was not the same face, it was the same person. And there we were. Well, here's what happened. I was invited to the Faroe Islands. They are still under the jurisdiction of Denmark, part of the Danish Empire, what remains. Even though they're self-governing, they're still under the Danish Empire. And a lot of their people study in Denmark, which is a tremendously liberal country, as the Scandinavian countries are in general. And gay activism is alive and well in the Faroe Islands, just like in many other parts of the world. And it's not in isolation. It's fueled by the activism of Denmark or America, be it the media or directly with gay activist organizations, the obvious connections, the same slogans, the same mindset, the same LGBT initials, etc. So, and I don't think anyone would deny that there's connection with activism outside of the country. And when I put on the TV to see what Faroese broadcasting looked like, I was struck at the hotel by American shows, one after another. So we are certainly having our impact there, for better or for worse, as a nation. But I was scheduled, the main reason I was going was to have a debate, as they are discussing redefining marriage or same-sex civil unions, to have a debate with some of the people putting forth the bill. There are 33 parliamentary members. There are 14 that are in favor with it. Two women in favor of the bill agreed to debate me, and others declined for various reasons. 14 members are known to be favoring the bill and behind it, so all 14 were offered the option to debate me. All 14. Most refused. The two that said they would then dropped out, basically last minute. I mean, tickets secured, everything planned. We added in other meetings all around it, had a wonderful weekend, got to do some additional radio interviews while there as well. But friends, hear me. Nobody would debate me on it. Nobody. And they invited the head of the gay activist organization. He declined as well. Well, we don't want a religious debate. It wasn't going to be religious. My lecture was not religious. It was secular in content. Well, English is not our first language. Well, most of them that I spoke with are wonderfully fluent in English. The English speaker is wonderfully fluent. But they said, fine, we'll get a translator. I said, 4-1, up to that. Whatever panel you want to put together, perfectly fine with me. No. Well, we don't want American influence. You have American influence through the media and through gay activism and outside influence. And all, I was not coming as an American to say, this is how you should live. That'd be the height of arrogance. I don't even know the people or the culture. No, my point in going was to say, we've tried this experiment and it's failing miserably. Let me tell you why. Here's what's coming your way. Please learn from our mistakes. We had an awesome turnout, and this video will go around the Faroe Islands.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, new news. Well, news is new by nature. In Hebrew, it's called chadashot, which literally means news, new things. Jerry Falwell Jr. has endorsed Donald Trump for president. To me, it's a very mistaken thing for evangelicals to endorse Donald Trump. Obviously, we don't divide over those things. Politics can be very volatile, but I believe it's a mistake for quite a few reasons. Interestingly, when I surveyed people and said, Sarah Palin's endorsement of Donald Trump, does that help him or hurt her in your eyes? The overwhelming number of people that responded to me on all media where I did, including radio, said it hurt her more than it helped him. Be curious to see the feelings about Jerry Falwell Jr. 866-34-TRUTH. So within minutes, if not hours, of my lecture, which was live streamed as well, had a terrific turnout. A local journalist said there were 300 people there. Another 95 or so watched online. So it was a terrific turnout when you think all the islands scattered, all of them together, have 49,000 people on the Faroe Islands. And it was professionally video recorded and will be released. If it hasn't been already, will be shortly. Local media was already commenting on the fact that no one would debate me. Oh, yeah, they wouldn't debate me because I'm a right-wing extremist. That was another thing. I don't know where that came from. I don't know that any parliamentary member said it, but some others said it, grassroots. They wouldn't do it because I'm a right-wing extremist. So number one, so if you lie about someone and spread false charges against them, that means that they're to be taken seriously. That's a great tactic. The same people that attacked me as a right-wing extremist, namely Southern Poverty Law Center, attacked Dr. Ben Carson as a right-wing extremist. We're on a similar hate list. Of course, they pulled his stuff when attention came to it, and mine doesn't seem to be on their website anyway. But what I found curious was, so hang on. I've given academic papers at places like Harvard University. I have done debates or given outreach lectures at places like Oxford University in England, Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Yale University, Ohio State University, USC in the States. But I'm not worthy to have a debate with an opposition member in the Faroe Islands. Huh? So local media, some reported they weren't happy with it. But within minutes, if not hours, after the lecture, people were posting immediately attacking it. All this guy did was bash us with religion, which of course is totally false. And well, he just brought up this argument and that, which were all myths. So once the video was out, the folks there are then going to say, okay, here's what Dr. Brown said. Let's listen to it. Let's hear what he said. Let's hear how he said it. And let's contrast that with the reports about what I said, which were, as I say, completely bogus. So really pray. It is right now in its second reading. It's got a third reading, and then the parliament gets to vote. Christians are really rising up, standing, getting their message out. So pray that righteousness would rise in the Faroe Islands and that the church would rise and make an impact. And that there would be a great outreach with love and compassion to those who identify as LGBT. 866-34-TRUTH. So, Planned Parenthood, not only is this big news in terms of what happened in Houston. So, grand jury indicts the activists behind the Planned Parenthood videos. You got to think, are we dreaming? Are we making this up? Unfortunately, the answer is no. But of course, Hillary Clinton is as aggressively pro-abortion candidate as you can find. And there is an all-out war on women beginning in the womb being declared by people like Hillary Clinton. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, we go to Yonkers, New York. Londi, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how's the weather there right now?
Oh, it's not bad. You know, God has mercy and the snow's melting already. But regarding the whole thing, you know, we're told in Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them or reprove them. And I believe that's what this guy was doing. And we're also told, you know, by Jesus Christ, our Lord himself says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, he says, for the sake of righteousness, you will be persecuted. So, I mean, I don't know why we're even surprised. This is a beautiful thing. This is a crown on his head that this guy, honestly, I wish I could be in this place where I can go to jail for the sake of righteousness and inherit eternal blessing, you know, in the midst of all this, you know, worldly logic and craziness, you know. I mean, we got the Lord giving us this great encouragement, you know.
Yeah, well, let me say this. I absolutely share your perspective on light exposes darkness, on the world will hate us, on blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Earlier today, I was coming back from the airport in Boston, and Nancy had sent me some screenshots just of a picture of me on Facebook with people posting the most vile, ugly, despicable things. And I was, this is just a picture of me. You know, there wasn't even a comment with it. So I got it. I started laughing. I showed it to my producer, Matt. We were just laughing. And yeah, it is a badge of honor in that respect when people blast you and vilify you. At the same time, though, because we love righteousness, we're going to expose injustice in the courts. So Paul would do that. Like in Acts 16, after he's flogged in this whole bit, and he's like, hey, you can do that to a Roman citizen? And So I'm 100% with you in terms of attitude. And yes, sir, this is a place of honor to be persecuted, mistreated for the gospel. At the same time, though, we want to expose the injustice and corruption, because a lot of Americans were appalled to see not just the allegations against Planned Parenthood and the selling of aborted baby parts, but, you know, when you actually look at the footage and the way they talk about it, you know, it's so on that level, we want to keep putting the pressure where it is. But yes, sir, you're absolutely right in terms of the overall attitude. And right now, I want to join in the outrage against this clearing of Planned Parenthood and pointing the finger in the wrong direction, and join the movement standing with the gentleman who has been indicted. But thanks for the call, and may righteousness and truth prevail. Hey, friends, it's the new year. Hopefully you're in the Word on a regular basis. Right now in my reading through the entire Bible, I am using the Tree of Life version that has been so popular. It is the first time ever that a team of translators, Messianic Jewish Christian translators, have worked together to produce a brand new translation, one that really will bring out Jewish background, or even something as simple as the Lord's name. Is it Jehovah? Is it Yahweh? Should we just say L-O-R-D? Well, how about saying Lord in Hebrew to tell you those 6,000 plus times it occurs in the Old Testament? That's his personal name. So Adonai, you'll have that over 6,000 times in the Old Testament, and Yeshua in the New Testament. We have the beautiful family Bible. It's beautifully produced. Trust me on that. Everyone who gets it is impressed with it. And, of course, a great new translation. When you order it, we're paying the postage and giving you a free DVD from our Think It Through TV series, our Jewish Outreach series. So take advantage of that. Get as many copies as you like. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to order. We'll be right back with more. For those that are saying goodbye, join us online at askdrbrown.org. We got 90 more minutes.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Again, if somebody can explain the logic here, how it's possible to indict someone for buying aborted baby parts without indicting the people who sold the baby parts, I still don't get that. So we're talking about David DeLaden. I'm probably mispronouncing his name because I do everything by writing normally and not hearing the name so much. So my apologies for mispronouncing his name. Is it DeLaden or DeLaden? Anyway, the head of the Center for Medical Progress that filmed these sting videos against Planned Parenthood, in a stunning turn of events, as reported on FoxNews.com and elsewhere, the grand jury declined to indict officials from the abortion provider and instead handed up a felony charge of tampering with a government record against Center for Medical Progress founder David DeLaden and Center employee Sandra Merritt. DeLaden was also charged with a misdemeanor count related to purchasing human organs. We were called upon to investigate allegations of criminal conduct by Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, Harris County District Attorney Devon Anderson said. As I stated at the outset of this investigation, we must go where the evidence leads us. All the evidence uncovered in the course of this investigation was presented to the grand jury. I respect their decision on this difficult case. Now, the fact that it's a grand jury could mean that they're impartial and that they are looking at the evidence and this is where the evidence led them. Okay? That is possible. It's also possible that those pushing for the grand jury are pushing for it to go in a certain direction. But let's just say that everything was done fairly and uprightly. Let's just say that there's nothing stacked. Let's just say that there's nothing behind the scenes. Someone, at least one person I have read from Planned Parenthood works with a district attorney in the district attorney's office. Is that part of it? Is the district attorney coming from their own perspective? Let's just say none of that is true. Let's just say it's completely unbiased. I still remain utterly baffled. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'm going to take calls on that. Yeah, sure. We'll take some calls on Donald Trump. And I'm about to post this on Twitter. My Twitter feed is at Dr. Michael L. Brown. So at Dr. Michael L. Brown. In your opinion, does Jerry Falwell Jr.'s endorsement of Trump help Trump or hurt Falwell? Yeah, I'm going to post that. In fact, let me type in the word Donald. There we go. Donald Trump, help Trump or hurt Falwell. We'll post that and interested to see what kind of responses we get. But I continue to have serious issues with evangelicals supporting Donald Trump, especially when they say, well, he's the only one that'll get certain things done. And let me tell you that my core issue is I believe America's greatest problems are moral. Our greatest responsibility as evangelicals is a moral responsibility. And that's where you have a whole list of candidates that are far better than Trump when it comes to moral issues. I mean, night and day better. So where do we need to put our emphasis? We'll be right back with your calls. I got a lot more to cover today.
It's the line. Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, thanks for some of the responses that I am getting here to my Twitter poll. Just put it out a few seconds ago. And let's see. In your opinion, is Jerry Falwell's endorsement of Donald Trump help Trump or hurt Falwell? So far, and this is just the first handful of votes coming in, but people are already posting graphics and making other comments as well. The first handful of voters, 68% say hurt Falwell, 32% say help Trump. I'm about to go to the phones, but I just got this email here, which I know speaks for many. I just don't understand how a true Christian can so easily dismiss all this. Wife posed nude, married three times, nasty, crude, cruel, proud, dishonest, manipulative casino owner and promoter. I read somewhere that one of his casinos has lap dances. Not sure if this is true. Bankrupted several companies, quote, hates abortion but agrees to make it legal, gutter mouth, and on and on and on. It's not necessary for the president to be a Christian, but doesn't integrity and a moral compass count for the highest office in the land? How about someone who can rein in their tongue? My thoughts precisely. And let's just listen to Senator Marco Rubio. An atheist questions him. All right. You know, I've personally endorsed Senator Cruz. If it came down to Marco Rubio against a Democratic candidate, of course, I'd vote for Marco Rubio. If it came to Donald Trump, I don't know if I'd be able to vote at all. I'd really have to pray about that. Just being honest with you, seriously. But listen to this question from an atheist to Marco Rubio. Joey, grab clip number four, and then we'll just listen to a little Marco Rubio's responses, and then we'll go to the phone. So let's start with clip number four.
My question is for atheist voters that are looking for somebody that will uphold their rights as Americans and not pander to a certain religious group. I just noticed your recent ad. It mentioned nothing about policy. It mentioned nothing about ideas. And it simply talked about wanting us to follow faith and find God and go to heaven and things like that, which is fine for those people that align with you. My question is, how do you plan on upholding our rights and focusing on non-theists? And you know, because there's talks in our community about you running as pastor-in-chief instead of commander-in-chief. So I'm curious your thoughts.
All right, so that's a fair enough question from an atheist to raise. And here's how, in part, Marco Rubio responds. Number five.
Well, first of all, as I said during my speech, you have a right to believe whatever you want. You have a right to believe in nothing at all. You most certainly have that right. By the way, I'm a Christian. I can't force you to be a Christian. Christianity is a free gift. Mm-hmm. We Christians believe that salvation is a free gift that has to be willfully accepted. I can't force it on you.
Yes, so unashamed about his faith and very clear about this is a personal choice ultimately. And then he continues in his answer, clip number six.
I'm going to share my faith, especially when I'm asked, because my faith influences who I am in every aspect of my life. First of all, I believe you can't really understand America unless you don't understand. If you don't believe that Judeo-Christian values influenced America, you don't know history. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying
right.
This nation was founded on the principle that our rights come from our Creator. If there's no Creator, then where did your rights come from? And so that's why it's important for us to understand that. And we're going to protect the rights of Americans to continue to believe that. We're also going to have a country where no one is forced to violate their conscience, which means no one's going to force you to believe in God, but no one's going to force me to stop talking about God.
Yeah, good for Senator Rubio, and like others who've spoken about their faith, they're not just speaking words in order to be elected. Does the president have to be a born-again Christian to rightly govern America? No. Does the president have to be outspoken about his or her faith to rightly lead our nation? No. Does the president need to be someone of clear moral character who fears God to rightly govern our nation? I say yes. And look, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Listen, it doesn't matter what nation. It doesn't matter if it's Muslim, if it's Jewish, if it's Christian, if it's polytheist. righteousness will exalt that nation, and sin will be a disgrace to any people. It's a universal principle. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Washington, D.C. Mike, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, first, I just want to say when you announce your telephone number, please put the numbers, because we who have a cell phone, when we dial the truth, it doesn't come out.
I normally do both.
Anyway, that's great. Now let's just go right into it real quick. On this way, you can have other callers. As far as Donald Trump, let's go right down the line: Clinton, Bush, Obama, evangelicals. The black church basically elected Obama based on color, race. We know that. So when you're talking about, well, I want him, of course we want a moral guy. We'd love to have a Ted Cruz or a Huckabee, but it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. You got a Ted Cruz head on with Trump. And do we want to win? We've lost so many times. You just made a statement.
Hang on, Mike. I got a question for you. We got time to talk, okay? So I got a question for you. I'm going to be bringing on a guest who's a conservative commentator in the next hour.
I don't care about conservatives.
Hang on. Mike, listen, okay? He's a real savvy guy. He has all the numbers on why Trump cannot win, all right? And his unlikability factor is so high, and the amount of personal money he would have to spend to pull things off, it's almost guaranteed failure, whereas you have other candidates who have consistently polled, including Cruz and Rubio, that they could beat Hillary Clinton head-to-head. So why not then get behind someone of moral character? Because, look, if Donald Trump gets elected, if our biggest issues are moral, if the big concerns are who we elect to the Supreme Court and marriage and life and family, that's not your man. Donald Trump's not your man. You've got no clue which way he's going to go.
Dr. Brown, Rubio's not our man either, okay? It's got to be Huckabee or Cruz. That's the guy.
Okay, fine. I've endorsed Senator Cruz. And look, did anyone expect him? And let me just say this. We can absolutely agree. We agree to disagree on this up front. Okay, Mike? Our fellowship in Jesus is unaffected. So we'll just talk like folks from New York, D.C. You know, we'll talk candidly. So you shoot straight, I'll shoot straight. All right?
I'm doing that. I'm saying that because I know I'm a New Yorker. And I've been out of New York for 40 years. And people just keep saying it's the brashness of a New Yorker. This is Trump. This is who he is. Look, what you get is what you see is what you get. Unfortunately, Dr. Brown, when we evangelicals vote for these fake Republicans who wind up in K Street's pocket, who wind up in lobbyist places after they retire, who tell us they're evangelicals until they get in there, who by the way, I want to say one thing about Planned Parenthood. There is not one pro bono Christian law firm running to the rescue of Planned Parenthood. If this was the Democrats, you'd have the ACLU and every lawyer group in America representing them for free. Do your evangelicals go home on Sunday? They're a segregated...
Yeah, okay, yeah. So hang on. Let me just jump in and say two things. Number one, I wholeheartedly agree that we have elected people because we think they're evangelical, and they may even be mildly, but it does not, to the core of their being, affect who they are and how they live and how they vote and how they govern. So we
Absolutely.
Make the same mistake. We get the white evangelicals, we get upset because it's Bill Clinton in office or it's Barack Obama. We pray like crazy. Right. We got to get the right guy in. And then we elect somebody, we take our foot off the brake, and the Republican establishment freezes everything anyway. So that's why, that's one reason why I'm pro-Cruz, because he's so anti-establishment. But either way, for him to make it, it has to be God's grace. The fact he's a big second place, that says a lot. But the second thing is, groups like Alliance Defense Fund, Liberty Council, ACLJ, others, there are major Christian organizations that fight day and night for the causes of righteousness. They are taking up the cases. The Alliance Defending Freedom, they have about 2,000 attorneys who give hundreds of hours for free.
Great.
Every year, Liberty Council, Matt Staber. So there are guys doing it. But listen, you got 30 more seconds before the break. Go ahead, get the last word in.
Okay, listen, I want to win. We have to win no matter how, and then figure out the judges. Cruz, if he comes in second, would be the best Supreme Court judge. the best.
Cruz is a judge. Okay, that's another perspective. Hey, Mike, I appreciate you weighing in. And again, I'm a former New Yorker, but we still got it in our blood, buddy, for sure. So we put this on the table, and let's pray. I don't pray, oh, God, cause Ted Cruz to be elected. Oh, God, don't let Donald Trump be elected. Oh, God, I say, God, your choice, your will, your plan. And we differ on it and have the same fellowship ultimately in Jesus on the things that we major on. Fair enough? All right, we will be right back. 866-348-7884.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. This is your friendly voice of moral clarity, moral sanity, and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call to get in on the broadcast. Let's go to Tori in Houston, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to make a comment about evangelicals that vote for Trump. And I'm not trying to be rude to anybody, and I'm sure there's wonderful people that really love God that are voting, that want to vote for Trump. But in my opinion, I feel like it's kind of like an insult to God, because Trump is saying all kinds of good things, but he doesn't, like, have the heart. And it's like asking God for all the blessings that come with, you know, bringing our nation back, but not actually wanting God himself.
Ah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, one of my friends, I was out preaching and talking to some pastors, and one of them said, Donald Trump is the last ditch stand to turn America around while bypassing repentance. And
yes.
And he was saying it in the same way you are. In other words, it's the wrong step. But right, it's kind of thinking that our deepest issues are not spiritual, that our deepest
yes.
issues are not moral. And look, I am all for God blessing America. I've said it many times. I would infinitely rather he blessed America than cursed America. But my prayer is not primarily God bless America. My prayer primarily is your kingdom come to America. Because in so many ways we are messed up and fouled up and corrupt and compromised, and we need God and we need morality, and that's the issue. So many other things will be fixed with divine blessing. And to try to fix them outside of that is really what Israel tried to do over and over again, isn't it? You know, if we, God brought judgment on us, but that's fine. We'll just do something bigger and better. And Rush Limbaugh and others have analyzed it as it's the split now between nationalism / populism and conservatism. In other words, it used to be that the strong pro-America, let's see America great again, was driven by conservative voters and conservative values. But now so many Americans are upset with what's happened under the Obama administration. They're upset with the way we're looked at around the world. They're upset with our immigration problems. They're upset with the economy. So they've had it with so many things. So Donald Trump obviously appeals to that, to the frustration, the anger. And of course, there are many appealing things about him as well, and being a reality TV star and super good at doing what he does. But now there's a divide between the nationalist and the conservative. Okay, that's from a secular viewpoint. What concerns me is our first values should be kingdom of God, and then second values, American. In other words, as Marco Rubio indicated, as Ted Cruz has said, I'm a Christian first and an American second. And some people are outraged by that, but what else could we say? Of course, that's the priority. And our nation would do well with leaders like that, because those are the principles on which our nation is based, whereas it would be different, say, if it was a Muslim making that statement. So, yeah, I'm with you on that, Tory. Do you have friends or others you interact with who differ with you and try to give their argument for supporting Donald Trump in the face of what you've said to me?
I've heard it. We just had a baby 6 months ago, so I've kind of been homebound. So
yeah, that's a worthy thing.
But some friends and some of my family members that claim Christianity but really don't live it. But I haven't heard, none of my really true Christian friends have. But I live in Texas, so we're very conservative. So it's kind of biased.
Got it. All right. Hey, well, thanks for the call and congratulations on the baby. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
God bless. All right, listen, friends, let me encourage you in all things to put your faith in God. Let me encourage you in all things to look to the Lord and not to man. It is very easy to get frustrated. It is very easy to get outraged. It is very easy to say, I want to pull my hair out, or to divide with brothers and sisters over political issues, and then to be concerned about which way is the country going to go, and what if we get the wrong person in the office. And these are all very valid concerns and very real issues. But ultimately, the bottom line is simply this. If we are believers in God and we do everything we know how to do to honor him, we do everything we know how to do to live for him, we do everything we know how to do to serve him. I don't mean we're perfect, but I mean we're doing what we know how to do. We're honoring the Lord. It's not like we're taking a 10-year vacation. We're not praying. We're not reading the word. We're not sharing the gospel. We're not living for God. And we say, hey, God's going to bring about what's best. No, we're doing what we know how to do. And we're getting politically informed, and we're voting. At the end of the day, what we have to say is, I trust you, Lord. You see, we still have to trust God, even if we've taken 10 years off from living for God. We still have to trust him, but we may be trusting him for judgment. We may be trusting him for discipline, saying what he does is best. But my prayer, again, is not for one particular candidate to be elected. My prayer is for God's best for America, for God's will to be done. And that's what I'm going to rest in. And that's what I'm going to feel secure in. And that is going to be my foundation. It is very, very simple. And that's with everything in life. I go to the Faroe Islands. I fly all the way over there. The organizers put everything together for me to have a debate. And the debaters drop out and no one else is willing. Well, what do? We do a lecture, we get that lecture out, and we're trusting that God's going to use that. And whether it was God's plan, number one, for me to do a lecture, whether people fell short, whether the devil got involved, God's a redeemer. And for his people, he works all things for our good. Even if all things themselves may not be good, he works them for our good, and that must be our foundation. So press in prayer when you feel frustrated, angry, annoyed. Press in prayer. And then do what you know how to do and trust the Lord. Remember, check out our very special resource offer this week. It is the beautiful Messianic Jewish Tree of Life version of the Bible, the beautiful family edition of that Bible with embossed Hebrew on the cover. It's a beautiful with beautiful graphics throughout and, of course, a terrific translation. When you get it, we'll pay the postage and we'll give you a free DVD from my Jewish Outreach TV show, Think It Through. So take advantage of that. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, yes, what's happened with Planned Parenthood continues to be outrageous. I am believing God for justice. Outrageous? Unbelievable? Yeah, it's true. We will give voice to your frustration today, right here on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you once again for joining us. I'm thrilled to be back from a very fruitful trip to the Faroe Islands. I posted a little video just driving in the car in the rain, which is common there in the Faroe Islands, about an hour off the coast of Iceland. But thank you for praying. Although no one was willing to debate me, we had it scheduled. People were supposed to debate from Parliament. They dropped out. No one was willing to debate me on the issue of same-sex, quote, marriage. I delivered a lecture on the subject, then did an interview with a journalist, and then did a Q&A with the audience. That's all been videotaped. We should have it available for you very soon, and we're trusting the Lord for great fruit from that. As that is distributed, people get to watch it throughout the Faroe Islands. Total population on those islands of 49,000. Stunningly beautiful, with just an old world feel as well, with houses right by the water with their thatched roofs and stuff, and a history that goes back many, many centuries. But I'll give you a bit more update. I did in the first hour, but thank you for praying. It was a super fruitful trip. And I didn't get this question answered in the first hour. I'm going to put it out again. All right? Here's the question once again. If I am involved in a sting operation, I know this is simple. Forgive me for being so simple, but I'm missing something here. If I'm involved in a sting operation and I go to some drug dealer. I get that person to illegally sell me drugs. I videotape the whole thing. I then come in with the evidence of those drugs, present it to the police, present the video. How is it that the police will then, or the courts will find me guilty of buying illegal drugs rather than the drug dealer guilty of selling them? Isn't that what's happened with Planned Parenthood? Isn't it what's happening right now, as a grand jury in Texas has said they are indicting the head of the Center for Medical Progress, one of the charges being misdemeanor for purchasing aborted baby parts. And yet Planned Parenthood is not guilty of selling them. Could someone explain that, how that works? 866-348-7884. Could someone explain the logic? Okay. Pope Francis has given the leader of Iran, not the supreme leader, Khamenei, but Rouhani, has given him a medal depicting Saint Martin giving his cloak to a poor man in the cold, describing the saint's act as a sign of unsolicited brotherhood. And the Vatican has said that Iran must join the fight against terrorism. Now, if this is a brilliant Jesus way of turning an enemy into a friend, then so be it. It does not feel that way, as President Hassan Rouhani visited the Pope, first Iranian president to do so since 1999. If this was the way of the Pope saying, I'm going to turn this man who is leading a terrorist nation, a radical Islamic nation, into a friend, great. If not, seriously? You got to be kidding me. We'll be back with we got a ton of stuff coming your way, including a former fan of Donald Trump who will no longer support him.
Fire we please. Stand in the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to your calls, which I'm about to, before I go to the calls, Joey, grab clip number three. George Soros, pronounced Soros here in the States, but Soros in Hungary. He is Hungarian. He is Jewish. He is a Holocaust survivor. And to the conservative Christians there who love the Lord, who love Israel, who love biblical morality, they're very much ashamed of what George Soros has done, or Soros, since we're here in the States, of what George Soros has done, a billionaire who is behind so much funding of so many wrong causes around the world. Of course, on his side, he's a champion. On our side, we look with great regret at what he has done. He is talking about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, and I want you to hear what he has to say. Clip number three.
Donald Trump and the others, Cruz and so on, are doing the work of ISIS. I actually listened to the debates, and it's a very simple message. I found it difficult to resist it. I was, you know, it's because it's so elemental. The only thing that stopped me is the knowledge that it must be wrong to do what your enemies want you to do.
Yeah, so according to Soros, they want to turn people against Muslims, treat them with suspicion, convince the Muslim community that there is no alternative except terrorism. So it turns the young Muslim population into a breeding ground of terrorists. We must resist that because we're doing the work of ISIS. Oh, this is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Listen, I absolutely do not appreciate a lot of Donald Trump's rhetoric, as you know. And that's a great concern to me, the nature of his rhetoric and to me the irresponsibility of it. And the fact that at times he sounds, sorry to say, like just a petulant, angry child. When he's threatened with anything, he's just going to lash out in the ugliest ways, whether they're true or not, or inaccurate or not, or beneath him or not. He's going to do it. That to me is grievous and ugly. But to accuse him and Ted Cruz and others of doing the work of ISIS because they're turning the young Muslim population into a breeding ground of terrorists, the young Muslim population that's being turned into a breeding ground of terrorists and turned into terrorists is not because of a Republican candidate or a conservative candidate raising concerns about Islamic terror. It's the whole rebellion against the West. It's the whole rebellion against secular culture. It's the whole attack on Israel. It's a whole ideological thing. And to look at it like this is absolutely absurd. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Des Moines, Iowa. Daniel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Appreciate it. Just a couple quick things for you. I was a Donald Trump supporter and switched over to Ted Cruz for that simple reason that you brought up. I do not believe Trump is a born-again believer. And that, you know, I really like the idea of him going to town, cleaning up our financial situation, taking care of ISIS. All those are great things. But at the end of the day, we answer to God for what we do. And I believe without a man that puts his faith in the Lord, he's just not our man. Secondly, you say that you pray for the will of America. And would you be willing to pray for judgment on America, even if it meant that Hillary was our new president? And that was what causes America to turn around.
Yeah, listen, I pray for God's will for America. And if God's will is to bring us a president that will further move us in the wrong direction, that will continue the wrong policies, wrong moral policies of President Obama, and that's what the president was going to do. In other words, give us a president that we deserve, and that's what's going to happen to bring further judgment on America to wake us up. Let the will of God be done. I would keep pleading for mercy and for repentance in our nation, beginning with the church. That I would
Amen.
Absolutely do. But again, that's why I don't know God's absolute specific plan. I know who I'm voting for at this point. If someone else gets elected to be the Republican candidate, then I have to pray about, do I support that person? What's the right course? I certainly couldn't support Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. That's obvious. So let's just say it was God's will to give us over to judgment because of aborting more than 50 million babies, because of exporting immorality and greed around the world. We've done a lot of good, but we've done a lot of bad because of our being a nation that is an activist nation for homosexuality, to the point of putting other nations under pressure, whatever other things that could bring us under judgment. If God's will is that we have a Hillary Clinton to lead us and it leads us into judgment and discipline, let God's will be done. But that's different from what I'm going to work towards. I'm going to work towards repentance. I'm going to work towards righteousness. I'm going to vote accordingly. And then we pray the will of the Lord be done. Hey, Daniel, all eyes are on your state of Iowa. May God's will be done there in the primaries. 866-348-7884, Charlotte, North Carolina. Philip, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I thought your question was interesting about the supposed sting operation and you using drugs as an example and that sort of thing. But I don't know how we would expect any different, regardless of whether or not this nation was once good, it is now wicked. And so is the government.
Yeah,
and
but is there no... listen, I know that there's a lot of wickedness and injustice. But every day, judges make good decisions in the courts. Teachers do righteous things with students. Parents do godly things in the home. Police enforce justice. Yeah, we have corruption and sin, compromise everywhere, politicians caving in. But then there are also godly mayors and governors and senators and others doing right things. So, yeah, I agree with you that things are unbelievably wrong now in so, so many ways. And on that level, maybe nothing should surprise us. But you know, still, I would expect some level of righteousness somewhere.
Well, my deeper point was the way I think God is using human government now. And I think this gets back to Israel originally wanting a king to be like the nations. They didn't want God ruling them. They wanted to be like the nations.
Yes.
And in my opinion, and I think Romans 13 backs this up, I believe that God is using wicked human government throughout the world now. And yes, you'll have good leaders from time to time and that sort of thing, and you'll have good things that happen. However, I think that overall in the big picture, wicked government is being used as a necessary contrast principle to what God's ultimate idea of government is going to be when Christ rules.
Got it.
And
hey,
you can't have that contrast without wicked government.
Listen, I appreciate it. I appreciate the call and the input. Let me just say this. We discussed this in the last hour with a caller, but there is a sense where some of the voters for Donald Trump, they're kind of thinking, who cares about morality? Who cares about ethics? We just want someone who's going to get the job done. And that's very much like what you're saying. Like, just give us a king. Give us a king so that he can take care of things, even if we don't have God as our king. Of course, it ain't going to work. Hey, thank you for the call. So I just posted this on Facebook, just my little question. We'll see if we get responses there. And you can give me your response to this. Are you ready? I asked the question, an hour ago on Twitter. In your opinion, does Jerry Falwell Jr.'s endorsement of Donald Trump help Trump or hurt Falwell? 24% have said help Trump. 76% have said hurt Falwell. So if you haven't heard it, Jerry Falwell Jr. has endorsed Donald Trump for president, and that raises serious questions to me. I'm sure some will now get behind Donald Trump because of that. To me, that raises questions about Jerry Falwell Jr. In other words, it doesn't. I'm not questioning him as a brother in the Lord, God forbid, and thank God for the amazing work that Liberty University is doing, and I'm sure I got 10 million things in common with Jerry Falwell Jr. as opposed to things that I differ with here. But in terms of, in my view, this is to his detriment rather than to Donald Trump's advantage. This doesn't make me say, oh, I'm going to reconsider not voting for Donald Trump right now. I'm talking about in the primaries. No, it makes me question how he could say this. So far, that's the way the votes are turning in, the first 139 votes. It'll just get a few hundred on my Twitter poll. But you can weigh in on that. 866-348-7884. And tell you what, Joey, we come back. Let's lead in with clip number 8 as we talk about righteousness in the nation. We talk about morality. We talk about the role of religion. It's an interesting quote from Marco Rubio. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world.
Oh God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My people are so smart. And you know what else they say about my people? The polls. They say, I have the most loyal people. Did you ever see that? Where I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay? It's like incredible.
This is the voice of Donald Trump, raising further concerns for me as to how people can back him, especially my perspective as an evangelical Christian, whereas to me our greatest issues are moral, and if we don't fix those, the nation will not get back on track. But let's look at this more broadly. I'm joined by John Hawkins, who runs Right Wing News and Linkiest. He is a top conservative commentator and coming at this completely pragmatically and not coming at this even from a religious perspective at all. He's written an article, Why This Former Trump Fan Doesn't Support Him Anymore. John, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Thanks so much for joining us.
Michael, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much. I enjoyed doing your show a lot last time.
Yes, and it was great to get your insight and input. First, tell me why you've liked Donald Trump in the past.
Well, I felt like I should give him a full chance and listen to what he had to say, and I really appreciated the fact that he's very politically incorrect. He's charismatic. He's very refreshing. I enjoyed the fact that he changed the debate on immigration. I think that he changed the way we're talking about it. I don't think he used the best words to do it when you're talking about, you know, rapists coming over the border, that type of thing. It didn't necessarily sound great, but he made a difference. I appreciate the fact that he changed the way that we're talking about Muslim immigration. Now, I don't agree with his proposal that we should ban Muslims from coming here. I don't even know how you would do it. It would be very difficult, but I think the fact that we're having a discussion about that issue now is good for us. It's something that's long overdue. And it might make it possible, for example, for something like something that Cruz has proposed, to stop people coming over from countries that are overrun with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. That might make it possible. So there's a lot of things I do like about him. I've met him. He's a very gracious guy, very nice, and a lot of charisma. So he does have his strong points.
And you also like his Art of the Deal book, correct?
I loved it. Thought it was a great book. I've done best of quote articles on Donald Trump before. I've written some nice columns about him.
Yeah, and I've read the best of quotes. Absolutely followed you along those lines. Now, before we discuss some of the issues in terms of why you feel he's not electable, because I'll often hear people saying, especially evangelical Christians, hey, I like Ted Cruz, I like Marco Rubio, but they could never beat Hillary, so we got to vote for Trump. Obviously, you can blow that out of the water in many ways, but what was it that caused you now to go ahead and write this article?
Well, you know, I think the thing is, for me, I was willing to give him a chance on a lot of this. I was willing to consider it and say, hey, is this a guy I should think about? You know, but it did never enter my mind that I would stick with him no matter what. When I start looking at his poll numbers and saying, hey, they're this bad, when I start listening to the things he says and saying, man, he's going to keep making gaffes, when I start looking at him and saying, you know, I'm willing to let him convince me he's a conservative, but he has changed parties 5 times, and I don't see a lot of people who have like a a 65-year-old conversion to conservatism. And, you know, what he's telling you, he's the most conservative guy out there, and you can trust me on all this stuff. And we just decided to, and he's changed his positions on some of these things from week to week. And so for me, I was willing to give him an opportunity and listen to what he had to say, but he didn't actually take care of any of these things. He didn't allay any of the concerns I had initially.
Yeah. All right. So now just on the pragmatic level about whether he's electable or not, I know you've raised issues in the past, in recent weeks, about funding, which may sound strange to many because he's a billionaire, but the funding issue and then the likability issue. Fill us in on those.
Well, first of all, funding. He's a very, very rich guy, but not compared to what it takes to run for the presidency. If he was running for the House or the Senate, you wouldn't have to have any worries about him funding it. For the presidency, Hillary Clinton and the super PAC supporting her will crack $3 billion. Now that, if you took away the value of his name, is almost the value of his entire fortune. So you got to ask yourself, what is he going to sell if he's telling you he's going to sell fun? Is he going to sell Trump Tower? Is he going to sell his golf courses? What is he going to get rid of? And could he even do that? So there's that to begin with. So that's number one. On his electability numbers, he has really, really bad numbers. Now, sometimes with favorability and unfavorability, you can look at a candidate and say, all right, well, they don't have the greatest numbers, but people don't know them very well. And when people don't know a candidate very well, they tend to not like them, and then they can get better later. Trump, they know very well. He has a 33% favorability rating and a 58% unfavorability rating. Just to give you an idea of how bad that is, that's what Jimmy Carter's numbers were in early 1980. It's worse than Walter Mondale. He has a higher unfavorability rating than Richard Nixon after Watergate. So you will often hear people talk about electability. That's something the establishment loves to do. It's like, oh, you can't vote for Pat Toomey because Arlen Specter's more electable. Or you can't vote for Rand Paul. Alan Grayson's more electable. They do this all the time. But, you know, if you look at the numbers and say, well, they may be right this time. It's kind of like Christine O'Donnell, who I like Christine O'Donnell. I like her a lot. I think she'd probably have made a nice senator. But when you looked at her numbers, at least I did, the reason I didn't support her when her race came out was I looked at it and concluded she was unelectable. Turned out to be right. And I'm telling you, with Trump, if he wasn't Donald Trump, there is absolutely nobody who would look at the numbers he has and would think he would have any shot at all to become elected. I'll say this, it would be easier to rehabilitate Enron's image than it would be to make him president.
All right, strong statement, and I'm sure you've said it with a lot of forethought. One last minute, for another Republican candidate, what would be their path to victory, and who could the candidate be, potentially in your mind, that could win it all?
Well, I think Cruz can. I think Cruz can win Iowa. There's a poll out today showing him winning. The big question about Iowa right off the bat is that the polling that they're doing, you know, some of them Cruz is ahead, Trump's been ahead, more of them, but a lot of times they're assuming this historic wave of turnout. And Trump, unfortunately for him, does not have much of a ground game. He doesn't do a lot of the traditional campaign things. There's a lot of questions whether he can pull it off. So I think you could see Trump come in second in Iowa. Cruz could come in second in New Hampshire, and then it's an even Steven ball game. Unless somebody else can get enough momentum to place really well, maybe win one of these contests or surpass Ted Cruz, I think it's probably going to be Cruz or Trump. Now, you never know, but if I were betting, those look like one of those two guys is going to pull it off.
And you think, just a couple seconds, do you think that Trump could say something or do something that would actually turn off some of his followers?
I think he could. Yeah, absolutely. I think these things turn off more people than you realize. And he definitely turns off a lot of people who aren't supporting him.
Yep.
I would not count him out doing something that makes people very upset, especially if he loses.
Right. That would be a big question. If he loses, what happens to the venom, the anger, the insults? Hey, John, thanks as always for your expert commentary. Much appreciated.
Michael, I really appreciate you having me on. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line of fire. Yeah, for those who were just listening in the last segment, I made a mistake. I asked Joey, our engineer, to play a clip, and then during the break realized I told him the wrong clip. So if you're like, what happened? That's all it was. It was my error there. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. And I want to just briefly comment on my trip to the Faroe Islands and a larger issue that I wrote about from my hotel room in the Faroe Islands Sunday night before heading back to the States yesterday. It was this. In the parliament there in the Faroe Islands off the coast of Iceland, Faroe spelled F-A-R-O-E in the language they speak, Faroese, a northern Germanic language, probably most closely related to Icelandic, I think. In any case, 49,000 population, beautiful, stark nature, very, very harsh weather in many ways, and just an old world feel to it. Parliament of 33 members, 14 of them supporting a bill to redefine marriage. So same-sex civil union, same-sex marriage, that debate being held by the parliament. I was asked by some Christians to come over and do a debate, and they had two women who were part of parliament who were behind the bill who were going to debate me. Ultimately, they dropped out. The other 12 declined the invitation. The gay activist organization, their leadership declined the invitation to debate me. And we, our folks there, were willing to accommodate, and I was on every level. Okay, if English is not your first language, although I spent hours and hours and hours talking with people in English who understood me perfectly, but let's just say someone wasn't 100% confident to debate in English, no problem, we use a translator. Oh, no. I said, hey, we'll have up to four people. We'll have up to four people against me if you want. Have a panel, four against one, perfectly fine. Let's do it. No. We don't want to have a religious discussion. It wasn't going to be a religious discussion. It wasn't going to be. It was going to be a secular discussion. That was clear. And on it went with facile, empty objection, one after another, as to why not to debate. Now, the parliament as a whole, it seems they're doing their best to hear this out. They've invited Christians to explain why they don't want to do this, and others have come. So there seems to be the parliament as a whole and the people of the Faroe Islands really wanting to discuss this issue, okay? My issue is with those who wouldn't debate. But doesn't it say in John 3 that those who have the truth bring it into the light? Those who have the truth bring it into the light so that everything can be exposed? You know, the little kid who did not eat the cookie and does not have chocolate chip stains on his fingers and pieces of a chocolate chip cookie on his teeth when his mother said, did you eat the cookie, Johnny? No, Mommy. Look at my hands. Smell my breath. Look at my teeth. The one who has is like, no, I didn't. There's got to be subterfuge and all that. Why? Because they are dishonest, because they were cheating. So when you have the truth, you bring it into the light without hesitation. So that's my question. The Faroe Islands, why was no one in Parliament willing to debate me? Why was no one from the gay activist organization willing to debate me? Why has this been the pattern for years when we've tried to put these issues on the table on college campuses? And why instead do people actually try to shut them down? I don't know that it happened there, but it's happened in other places at college campuses. Activists try to shut the debate down from happening. And others who are willing to debate me, other people say, don't do it. Don't do it. That alone is very revealing, is it not? When you have the truth, you gladly bring it to light because you know that you have nothing to hide and your arguments are strong and it's based on truth. When the other side won't do it, it's very telling. We come back. I'm going to speak with Reverend James Robison. Got some insights in terms of a spiritual approach to the presidential elections, a wise approach, and it's the one-year anniversary of the Stream, stream.org. We'll be right back.
Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us. And again, thanks for your prayer support in the Faroe Islands. What a blessing to run into folks in that part of the world not far from Iceland who listen to the Line of Fire regularly, who read my articles regularly, watch the YouTube videos. If you're listening now, let that bring a smile to your face as it brought to my face. Great to reconnect with my esteemed friend, James Robison, founder of The Stream. If you've not visited, it's 1 year old now, stream.org. Check it out. James, congratulations after a great first year.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's been a great honor and privilege to have you as a part of The Stream. I consider your voice one of the most important for people to hear and appreciate what you've just been sharing. And you're certainly right about having serious debates and really declaring truth and exhorting people to consider the truth and even receive what God says.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me, sir, and thank you for the very kind words. It reminds me of when people are concerned that someone's visiting our services or coming to our ministry to spy. It's like, spy all you want. What you see is what you get. This is who we are. We don't have some secret agenda. This is who we are because we bring everything into the light. We're children of the light. And when you're children of darkness, that's when you have to hide things.
You're exactly right. And I love the fact that you're willing to discuss. I would say that one of the things that I know I have to be reminded of and when I'm really standing firm for something that I believe is critically important, and that is that I be sure I speak it with love. And, yes. You know, the more you and I have interacted, the more convinced I am, not just of your love for the truth, but the love of the individual that the truth will benefit so incredibly if they would only receive it.
You know, when I was in the Faroe Islands this past weekend, a local journalist interviewed me. I was supposed to do a debate with parliamentary members. They dropped out, so I did a lecture instead about same-sex marriage, just from a purely secular viewpoint. And then this journalist interviewed me and he asked me, how did I get involved and so on? And I told him about the burden I got about what was happening in the society and concerned about the direction of society. I said, but I wanted to understand the people. I said, so I began, whenever I had an opportunity to sit down with someone who identifies as gay or lesbian, I asked them to tell me their story. And I read all the literature I could from a secular viewpoint, a religious viewpoint, to hear what they had to say. And I told them at times I'd have to put the book down, and I was fighting back tears. Here's this a public discussion here in front of hundreds in the Faroe Islands. And I said, I'd get alone and pray and said, God, I don't want to hurt anybody. Because I realized that when I say that marriage is the union of a man and woman, that there's a gay couple there that just felt I rejected them and that I must hate them or feel that they're not on our same level. It isn't marriage if it's not a man and a woman. Yes, we understand that, but still, those are people created by God, loved by God, for whom Jesus died. And that has to drive everything we do in terms of where we stand and who we are. And not to exchange compliments, but you've done that for many years. And if someone watches the TV show Life Outreach International, you care about poor, hurting, rejected, underdog people around the world. And that's what fuels your ministry.
Well, the Lord cares about those who feel overlooked. And he looks at those who are trapped or held captive as those who are in bondage, who in fact may be blinded by their sins or their choices and be prisoners and not know what they're doing because they are in bondage and blinded by the power of darkness and deception. And the Lord's heart was broken for them, and ours should be too, because haven't we all had that hook in us that jerked us in directions we knew were not best?
Yeah, absolutely. There we go, all of us, but by God's grace. Now, there's news today that Jerry Falwell Jr. has just endorsed Donald Trump for president. You've never endorsed a candidate. I know candidates have knocked at your door for years for your endorsement. Why has it been your policy to never endorse a candidate?
I feel like it's the wisest thing for the church leaders to do, and I may be publishing even within the next 24 hours preachers in politics endorse or exhort. What's the better way? And I think it is to exhort. I've already texted Jerry. I talked to him before this decision. I did not think it wise, but I've already texted him that I pray that he will use the opportunity that this door may have opened for him to really speak words of wisdom and encouragement and even correction to this candidate. The reason I don't endorse is that I'm led of the Lord not to. Suggest churches don't. I know you've chosen to, and you know that has not divided our friendship or relationship.
Yep.
But the reason I don't, basically the majority of the candidates are talking to me and praying with me. They want me to pray for them and with them. They know I don't endorse. So they're coming for insight and wisdom, and I give them what I would call a forceful but loving exhortation related to truth and freedom's foundation, and how, in fact, they might lead people in the right direction. You can imagine I've said to one very positive, very popular candidate, you don't just burn bridges, you've got to build bridges.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just tear down what must be torn down. You've got to prove that you can build up. And we really have to do that. So I'm able to speak to all of the candidates, and plus the fact that if I've maintained a relationship and they begin to drop out, I would perhaps have a greater influence in pointing them perhaps in what might be their wiser direction in light of the times, in which direction their wisdom and their insight might be taken and where it might be meaningful. So that's me. That's where God has me, and I do think the church must be very careful about that. And the other thing is, we have, as a minister, a citizenship right to endorse or to support a particular position we think is best. We mustn't get angry at that person. It's not a matter of I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. Let's find all the ways we can divide and destroy one another. If someone else is led to go a direction we're not, let's really pray for them. Let's pray for the person they're trying to help. And let's pray that person will hear the truth, maybe in that relationship that's developed. If the family of God would behave more like a family that has a wise, loving, all-knowing father, and begin to love the family the way he's asked us to, it would be unbelievable the kingdom effect that would have in the earth today. So yeah. That's really what I'm encouraging. It's what I hope the stream becomes even far more effective at encouraging.
And the stream is tackling these issues right on, I mean, very strongly, very clearly, and yet without endorsing a candidate, issues can be addressed. And on my end, this is the first time I've endorsed a candidate. I might not do it again. It was a certain thing I felt I could have potential involvement that could make a difference, that's part of my larger vision of a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I felt I could make a positive difference in that regard. But again, the larger viewpoint is how I've always operated through the years. And of course, I haven't had as much weight to carry many years ago as I might carry now. But that being said, and again from your non-specific endorsement policy, my big issue with those who support Donald Trump as evangelicals is I see our deepest issues as moral and spiritual, and secondarily the other issues. So immigration is a massive question, and national security, yes, a massive question, and economy, a massive question. But to me, I'm thinking we must fix the moral rot first before we can address the other things. Therefore, that's my biggest concern as a candidate. Is that, in your opinion, an overly simplistic view of things?
No, I don't think it is. I think that your view and your hope is right. I think we have to be wise enough to know that if Saul of Tarsus could have a Damascus Road experience, so could Donald Trump or any other person. But here's the thing, and that also emphasizes the point that we all need those encounters with God that really do have an undeniable transforming effect. And that's my prayer, that Donald Trump would get off the high horse, so to speak, of I will, I will. It sounds reminiscent of somebody else's diatribe in Isaiah. It's the one who humbles himself before God who'll be exalted. It's the one that doesn't say I can, but I trust, and another one that says I will sit in the council of the godly, and I will seek wisdom in a multitude of counselors. I'll not be someone who refuses to hear anyone else just because I'm gifted to be a success. Therefore, I dismiss the rest of you as non-important entities, when in fact every part of Christ's body and every person is important to God, therefore they are to be a contributing factor. And I would just simply say to Donald Trump that let's look at those passages that talk about where wisdom and lasting success really comes from, and let's examine our own hearts to be sure that we don't need to take caution when we think we stand, lest we fall. We better be sure we're standing on a rock-solid foundation. And I'm not sure that really that many people or candidates or like even Mr. Trump have been exposed to those principles that are so vitally important to freedom. And it is truth that makes us free and keeps us free. Has he been exposed to the truth he needs to hear? Well, as proclaimers of truth, let's deliver it to him in love and consistently, and know that God could in fact use him, but know that there are cautions God has given us that we'd better take seriously. And one of them is not to think too highly of our own ability. Yeah. And what ability we have, recognize it as a gift from God.
Yeah, well said. And again, friends, hear the spirit of my friend's voice. This is what we've got to grasp. Where we have our differences, let us be redemptive. James, thanks so much for your time, as always. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you face-to-face soon.
Yes, sir. God bless you, too.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, what do I want to cover here? You know what, Joey? Let's grab the longest clip that I have not played from Senator Marco Rubio. I appreciated his forthrightness responding to an atheist about his beliefs. As soon as you grab whatever is the longest clip we didn't play yet, grab that for me, Joe. When it's ready, let me know. All right, clip number 8. Let's do it. Let's just hear background. An atheist at a town hall meeting says, okay, how are you going to be the president of all the people if you are so openly and overtly Christian? Are you going to be the pastor-in-chief? And Marco Rubio, unashamed about his faith, so on, he goes on from there. Let's listen to what he said.
I believe that God, our creator, became a man. And he came down to earth and lived among us. Suffered like a man would. Emotions, physical suffering, emotional suffering, pain, illness, sickness, sadness. And then he died. And he died to remove sins that we couldn't remove up to that point. They could only be covered, but they couldn't be removed. And as a result, I now have the free gift of the opportunity to live forever with my creator. And I believe that passionately, and it influences every aspect of my life.
Yeah, I don't know that. Same question I had, Matt. I don't know that Jesus got physically sick. He certainly died a horrific death. But I appreciate Senator Rubio's openness about his faith and being absolutely unashamed. Okay? I very much appreciate him saying, I'm Christian. And I'm unashamed of that. And also saying that you can't really understand America unless you understand America's Christian principles. I think I'm going to write an article on this, but my article is basically going to say, okay, Huffington Post took exception, very, very liberal online publication, influential. Huffington Post took exception to Ted Cruz basically saying, I'm a Christian first and American second. But what else is a true Christian going to say? Isn't that the order of faith? I am a believer first and everything else second. I am a follower of Jesus. Here, could you say I'm a follower of Jesus first and a husband or wife second? I'm a follower of Jesus first and an American or Canadian or Mexican second? I am a follower of Jesus first and an employee or a student or a minister second? Isn't he first in all and above all? What is controversial about that? You say, oh, that makes America a theocracy if you're elected. No. No. Number one, a theocracy is where you are now going to impose by force, basically, on a nation religious beliefs. Iran runs as a theocracy. Saudi Arabia runs as a theocracy. Why? Because they're Muslim countries. And in Islam, there is no separation between religion and state, between mosque and state. The state, in fact, is under the mosque in that regard. The supreme leader of Iran is a cleric, is Ayatollah Khamenei. Before him, Ayatollah Khomeini. So we understand that difference in mentality. And law in an Islamic country is going to be Islamic law. If we had a committed Christian as the president of the United States, those Christian values would fuel that president's mindset, their outlook. They still have to govern all the people. if they wanted to establish a theocracy, then they would have to remove the Supreme Court, remove Congress, and say we are now setting up kind of spiritual martial law, so to say. Everyone must pray X number of times a day. Everyone must read their Bible X number of times a day. Everyone must attend religious services X number of times a week. Everyone must donate this amount of their money to the church. Everyone, if you are guilty of violating the Sabbath, you go to jail or you're put to death. And the Sabbath is this particular day because that's what we say it is, and that is enforced. That would be a theocracy. What would be the difference between a theocracy and a deeply religious country? Well, a deeply religious country would be one where the great majority of the people are God-fearing, and maybe they're Christian, and Sunday is a day when they worship and don't work their jobs. And they say, you know, the majority of us don't like all the hustle and bustle of stores and things open on Sunday, so we're going to have blue laws in our state. And then they vote together, and they do that. And they close certain stores on Sunday, or restaurants, or whatever it might be, right? That would be a deeply religious people. A deeply religious people would be, and whether you like those laws or not, that's not even the debate. A deeply religious nation would be one in which the people so honor life that abortion is illegal, and there's tremendous help for those who are unable to care for children or to raise a child and therefore need help with adoption because there's so much reverence for life and so much care for the poor and the needy. A deeply religious nation would be one where the people vote overwhelmingly for certain sexual ethics and say, hey, in our community, or they just stand for certain things. So in our community, if you're a medical doctor and you leave your wife and you shack up with your secretary and you've abandoned your wife and kids, even though you haven't broken the law in our community, you're going to lose a lot of our business because we don't like that. That would be a deeply religious community. But a theocracy would say that person is now put to death for what they've done. The other thing would be there are social consequences. And the same way, America could go the opposite direction to the point that if you have religious beliefs, you get shunned for that. And if you hold to morality, you get shunned for that. It could happen. So, yes, of course, we want our leaders to be Christian first, Americans second, from our perspective as followers of Jesus. But that also means that as Christians, they're going to honor our Constitution because it was made primarily by God-fearing men. And the founders of our nation presupposed that America would be a moral and religious nation. They presupposed that, because of which you can rightly govern America as a committed Christian, but you could not rightly govern America as a committed Muslim. Because as a committed Muslim, as Dr. Ben Carson rightly said, he got a lot of flack for it, but he rightly said it, as a committed Muslim, you would be committed to Sharia law before the Constitution, as far as your goal of what should be implemented. And ultimately, what you'd want to see is America become a Muslim nation. That would be your goal. Just like if I was elected to leader of a Muslim nation, I'd want to see that nation come to faith in Jesus. So just a few thoughts there, and my appreciation to Senator Rubio for his boldness. Senator Cruz has made some comments. People said to me he's never going to get elected with comments like that. Well, he is who he is. Yeah, he's going to be elected to govern the whole people, as he was elected senator of all the people of Texas. But you can be a committed believer and lead the nation. And I think someone qualified to govern as a committed believer can do the best job of anyone. But let's pray. Let's pray, God, your will be done. God, your will be done. Your very best. Your very best for the nation. All right, make sure you check out our very special resource offer this week. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. Oh, we've got a couple seats left, just a few seats for our Night to Ignite. If you want to join us for our first ever Vision Banquet, where you'll find out how you can partner with us and hear from the Benner Brothers, you've got to sign up now. It's in 2 days, NightToIgnite.com. NightToIgnite.com. My bottom line, there is so much that can agitate you and frustrate you when it comes to presidential politics. Stay on your knees.